Our text for this evening's meditation is from the Gospel according to St. Mark, from the 16th chapter, the 20th verse. And they went out and preached everywhere while the Lord worked with them and confirmed the message by accompanying signs. So our text. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, Christians were first called Christians because they believed that Jesus of Nazareth, was the Christ. What's that word? What did that mean, that word Christ? Well, Christ was a Greek word meaning the Anointed One, a translation of the Hebrew word Messiah. The Hebrew Old Testament was translated into Greek about 150 years before the birth of Jesus. The Hebrew word Messiah was translated with the Greek word Christ. So, can he be the Christ is what was asked when Jesus first started preaching among the people and doing miracles among the people who spoke both Greek and Aramaic. That is, can he be the Messiah? The Messiah, the Anointed One, promised in the Old Testament. You remember King Saul and David and Solomon were anointed ones. They were the kings of Israel, anointed for that purpose. You remember David was promised by God that one of his descendants would sit on his throne forever. Let all the house of Israel know, Peter would preach in Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost centuries later. Let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus whom you crucified both Lord and Christ. Early Christians, even Christians yet today, we ourselves are called Christians because we confess that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah of the Old Testament, but also the Christ, the Son of the living God, as Peter confessed to Jesus when Jesus asked Peter who he thought he was, the Christ, the Son of the living God. That was Peter's confession. We find in the Gospel of Matthew. Now, our text. Our text would suggest, our text for this evening, for our observation of the ascension of Christ, our text would suggest that not only were Christians called Christians because they confessed Jesus to be the Christ, but Christians were called Christians. Christians are called Christians because Christ himself continues to work within us. That means that Christ, after his ascension, did not depart from his church. That is, all who believe in him on earth as the Anointed One. No, Christ in his ascension did not leave us all behind to fend religiously, spiritually, theologically for ourselves. Instead, he continued. Christ continues to work with us, promising where two or three of us are gathered together in his name, he will be there in our midst. Kind of like he was with those two disciples after his resurrection on the road to Emmaus. But what is more, Christ has promised to reside in our hearts. If anyone loves me, Jesus said, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and he will come to him, and we will make our home with him. And also, lo, I am with you always. I am with you always. Right? As our banner says here. I am with you always. You always. Even to the close of the age. So the question raised by the ascension is how? How is our Lord present with us today? How is he present with us? I mean, we're not simply Godites, yes, believing that somehow we have a connection with the living God created by Christ 2,000 years ago, like the phone company connecting up our line years ago at our house, a phone line we continue to use to this day, not for our phones, of course, but for our internet access. And we're not simply Holy Spiritans, believing simply that the Holy Spirit works within us without any reference or connection to Christ, who now is in heaven minding his own business. No. Our Lord and Savior Jesus remains among us invisibly, invisibly working with us, not only as God, but as man. That's the kicker, that our Lord and Savior continues to work with us both as God and as man. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me, is what our Savior said right before his ascension. That is, all authority in heaven and on earth that he already had as a Son of God had been given to him in the resurrection as the Son of Man. So that means that with us invisibly to this day is our Lord and Savior Jesus, this Christ who continues to work with us, not just as God, but as man. But why is that important? Why is that important? Why can we find comfort and strength in that fact? Well, in Hebrews we read that the Son of God had to be made like his brothers in every respect so that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in the service of God to make propitiation for the sins of the people. Our Lord and Savior Jesus, he's merciful. Our Lord and Savior Jesus, he's faithful. And he is so because he became and he remains one of us. Why do you have to go to the university? One of my coworkers at a cabinet store years ago asked me one day in Germany. We were in a home installing a kitchen and talking about the fact that I'd work there in the morning installing kitchens, and then in the afternoon I'd go to the university and attend lectures and seminars. Why do you want to be one of them? So his question, the question that stuck with me to this day, the question as to why I wanted to be part of the higher echelons of German society and could not simply remain with the people, the common people, working a trade. Of course, my classmates at the university wondered about how I could spend any time at all installing cabinets with tradesmen. Point is that there was a perceived divide, a divide between the lower and upper classes there. And like it or not, there's a perceived divide between the true, the living, the only God and us. Man. One is powerful, the other is limited in power. One is a creator, the other is the creature. One is eternal, the other is temporal. One is holy, sinless, and pure. The other, that is us, unholy, sinful, stained with sin. That being the case, how is it that we even have a shot? How is it we can even come close to God? How is it that we can be considered considerable by God? You know, I think if I could conduct a poll in which it was guaranteed that the respondents answered honestly, yes, if I were to conduct a poll and ask one question, I would know the answer. The question, why do you not go to church? The answer, the truly honest answer, the answer at the heart of all other answers I would receive is this, from someone who's honest: I'm not good enough. That's it. I'm not good enough. Good enough to go to church. Why do people not seek God? They're not good enough. Why do people not read their Bibles? They're not good enough. Why do people not want to even talk about religion? They're not good enough. Now, we shouldn't be surprised here, for we do the same thing. We use the same argument throughout our lives, right? Why didn't we try out for the play in high school? We weren't good enough. How about the football team? Not good enough. Why didn't we send in that application to Harvard, Yale, or Stanford? Not good enough. Why didn't we apply for that top-of-the-line job? Not good enough. Why didn't we ask that girl out? Not good enough. Why didn't we say yes to the guy who asked us out? Not good enough. I mean, how often have we not done something because we believed that we ourselves were not good enough? And well, let's be honest. Often we're right. We are indeed not good enough with our skills and intelligence and capabilities to do a lot of things. So it just makes sense that we kind of make the same argument when it comes to God. We're not good enough. We're not good enough. And that being the case, we don't try. And we comfort ourselves with the idea that God is so, so high above us that, well, what could we do about it anyway? Well, God is not so high above us. God is right beside us. And not only that, God is right beside us not only as God, but as someone just like ourselves, as man. Someone who was born, grew, learned, lived, and died like we do. In other words, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, knows what it is like to be a human being. I mean, that's why he suffered and died for us. He knew what? That we were not good enough. He knew that there was nothing that we could do. We didn't have the skill, didn't have the ability, didn't have the talent to be like God, to be godlike. And so he, that is God, became man. He became man, not only to suffer and die for us for our sins so that our sins could be forgiven and we could once again have fellowship with God. No, Jesus Christ suffered and died for us so that he could send his Spirit to us and even more, receiving all power in heaven and on earth, ascend into heaven so that he could now both as God and man continue to be with us, to dwell with us invisibly, and continue to work with us every day as we live each day through faith in him. And let's not get all hung up on this invisible stuff. Let's not. We work with invisible stuff every single day. Indeed, the world right now is living in fear and terror of what? Invisible stuff. So let's not dismiss the presence of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ among us simply because he's invisible. I mean, if we were to rid ourselves of all the things in our life that are invisible because they are invisible, because they use things we can't see with the naked eye, what would we be throwing away? Our radios, our televisions, our cell phones, our electrical appliances. How many of our purchases can we not even see anymore as they don't involve any cash or paper? And yet we live fully confident that such invisible things like radio and television waves and even electricity, when it comes right down to it, exist, function, and work. Why? Well, because we see the signs of them working. The Christian life is full of signs. Signs of Christ's continued work among us, even though we can't see him. We confess as much when we sing that simple children's hymn, right? You know the one. I am Jesus' little lamb. Remember how that goes? I am Jesus' little lamb. Ever glad at heart I am. Fancy way of saying I'm always happy. For my Savior gently guides me. He knows my needs. He well provides me. Means he gives me all the stuff I need. And he loves me every day the same. And he calls me by my name. The point of the ascension of Jesus is that this guiding of our Savior doesn't happen from way far away, from some heavenly control room, levers being pulled by a divinity that's beyond our comprehension, but this guiding is done in these last days by our Savior who is with us because he remains one of us, being on our side upon the plane of this life, as Luther put it in his famous hymn, with his good gifts and with his Spirit. He's by our side upon the plain with his good gifts and Spirit. That's what the ascension means. Our text again, and they went out and preached everywhere while the Lord worked with them and confirmed the message by accompanying signs. Amen. Now may the peace which passes all understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.